But I wanted to talk to you this morning on Mother's Day, because today is the day when we honor mothers, what we should honor mothers every day of our life. And not all of us have had perfect mothers, but we have all had mothers that we love. So today we recognize them. And I just wanted to take a moment to recognize the mother side of God. You know, God created us in His image. They talk about how we create man and woman in our image. So we know that God is the Father. We know that God has a mother aspect to Him, the nurturing part of God the Father. It is an amazing thing. One of those things that we really don't fully understand, but by faith we know that God is real. So I wanted to talk to you about that and see if you recognize some of the characteristics of maybe your mom or somebody else's mom. You might see one that they'll stand up and take pictures of their son's school play, even though they were asked, don't take pictures during the play. But there's the mom. Click. Well, then you got another mom that maybe insists that their child wear a sweater when they're cold. Why? Because they're cold. Or you tell your daughter how much prettier she looks if you just keep the hair out of your eyes. Or you might even hear yourself things like, your face will freeze like that if you don't smile. Or, if your friends drop off a bridge with you, I think there's a used Kleenex stuffed up under your shirt sleeve. I think the first thing you might ask when somebody walks into your home, if it's your mother or my mother or one of the mothers that you might recognize, you want something to eat? That's the characteristic of a good mama. Or you spend your vacation wondering if you left the iron or the coffee pot on. Or your daughter might smugly say, I'll never be like you when I grow up. So you might recognize some of those characteristics as we grow in grace. But the text that I read this morning, or I tried to read, is very appropriate for today, because Jesus said, I will never leave you comfortless. I will come to you. One translation said, I will not leave you orphans. But both render the text, it sounds like Mother's Day to me. And I don't want to be guilty overgeneralizing or stereotyping them, but I like the buts. But most of us think of being comforted. Do we think of our moms, or do we think of our dads when we want to be comforted? There was a survey done that asked boys who would they most likely confide in when they have a problem. The survey said 23% said father, 77% said they would confide in mom. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. Then there's a lot of dads who are doing a splendid job of comforting their children, but in the majority of the cases, comfort comes from mom. Yes, God is like a father, but God is also like a mother who comforts her children. And where is comfort to be found? That is the question for today. What is Jesus promising us? Jesus said, first of all, He will comfort us by His presence, and that no one would be left behind. So, a mother's love is relentless. Pretty much, any parent would go to whatever length necessary to retrieve a child that maybe was lost or in trouble. I think we have something built in us, within us, that drives us to dare nearly impossible feats if it means that we can save our child. Parents whose children have been stolen or lost can spend years seeking to find them. And despite all the evidence to the contrary, mothers in particular seem to have an inner sense that urges her never to give up on finding her child. Now, you may or may not know, there was a movie, and I have not seen the movie. I just know what the movie was about, because there's so much going on now where there's documentaries and people helping parents and other people find their children, missing children. You know, we've seen them years ago. They put pictures on the milk cartons, if you remember those days. Well, now, still going on. There are kids being kidnapped, missing. Some of them just run away from home. But there was a movie, not without my daughter, and it's about a mother who's determined to get her daughter out of the country which she was sent to, and she knew that the daughter in that country was at risk. And maybe you've heard stories like this, and there's been some on the news lately, but the strong bond between a parent and child is so real. For example, in China, Lai Xing spent 32 years searching for her son Mao Yin, who was kidnapped in 1988 at the age of 2. And reports tell us that she would travel over 20 provinces in China and distributed over 100,000 flyers with the pictures on before a DNA match found her son. She never for a moment, though, gave up hope. She knew that she was going to eventually find her son. A similar situation in 1971, a 22-month-old baby was kidnapped by a babysitter in Texas. And for 51 years, her family searched for her. But then in 2022, they found that daughter also through a DNA match. Modern technology is just amazing. How that we were able to figure out what God had put together. It's just fascinating. But still another time, a mother spent 40 years searching for her daughter who was abducted at the age of 4. So even when the end result means tragedy or mourning parents will do anything to search, locate, and bring their children home, they will never give up hope. So when a child has these kind of parents in their life, the kind that care so deeply and feel so committed and love so unconditionally, they know that if something were to happen to them, their parents would never give up looking for them. That's the kind of parental commitment and love that builds a level of trust in children that secures their lives in ways that cannot be duplicated. They learn not only the meaning of deep and abiding love, but a kind of resilience that can't be taught, but only lived and experienced. And having this foundation allows children to live their lives more securely, hopefully, and take more of a healthy risk and boldly proclaim that they have life. But parents aren't the only ones who demonstrate that kind of bond and commitment. You know, what branch did you serve in, Mark?
Army.
Army. Donnie, did you serve in the Army?
No.
Who else served in the military? Anyway. Well, our son-in-law served in the Navy, but he was also connected to the Marines. I think Don Singletary was a Marine. So the Marine Corps has an unwritten code and understanding that every Marine knows this when they're trained, that no man will be left behind. But, you know, I love the butts in the air. They had to change it a little bit to be modern because we got women now serving in the Marine Corps. So I think they had to change it that no person left behind, or maybe no man or woman be left behind. It doesn't matter. But one thing about the Marines, they know that they would never doubt in the event that something would happen to them, one or more of their team would come and rescue them and bring them back. Not only in the Marine Corps, but all of our services, if you remember just recently, where that pilot was forced to eject and he was lost in Iran, and we didn't know it at the time what's going on, but there was things going on and they were preparing to go get him, and they did, and they brought him home. That's the kind of love that a mother has for her child. So a camaraderie like that is built, and tight bonds between military people, but more importantly, the tight bonds that should not only operate on the battlefield, but to operate as a team and from significant bonds. We as the body of Christ should do exactly the same thing. They become like family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And despite all of our differences and the feelings of that will last for a lifetime. And if one of our brothers or sisters is hurting, we respond. Well, whether the parent who comes to expel a monster under their bed or not, it's another thing. But when I was growing up, we lived in a little small town called Stoverdale, and my bedroom was on the second floor. I was up there all by myself, and I know there was a monster under my bed. I just know there was. Mom had to come up a couple times and check and say, "No, Butchie, there's no monster under here. Go back to sleep." Well, that's a wonderful thing when you think about it. Milestones in life, the kind of support and commitment of love of family and moms are so matter to us. It's a cornerstone of what we are and of what makes us truly human. And Jesus' disciples knew this kind of commitment from their leader as well. They know the love that Jesus had for them, and he encouraged it among them with his image of a shepherd and a sheep, if you remember that parable, informing us of the nature of his feelings for us. If only one, the parable of the 99, only one would lost, the shepherd would leave the flock and go and retrieve the one lost sheep and bring it back into the fold. That's the tale of the prodigal son also. The prodigal son shocked everybody when the father welcomed and celebrated his return. Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples. He bid them to love and to look out for one another. Love one another. That was his command. Now, we have to love. My friend John Riley would always tell us, we got to love one another. Jesus commands us and we got to do it, but we don't have to like them or go fishing with them. But we got to love them. And that's the way life is. We don't always like all of our family members either, but we love them. That kind of love and care and a deep commitment helps souls that are grieving. And as we read in the scriptures a while ago, the disciples were worried because this Jesus guy that's been with them for 3 years told them he was leaving. And they would see him. Next Sunday, Ascension Sunday, they would see him leave. And they were afraid to let them alone. And Jesus explained to them, no, I will never leave you. You'll never be alone. He will never allow us to be orphans or in the Greek bereaved without parental protection is what he's saying. He said, because from the form of the Holy Spirit, you will have a continual advocate with the Father. You will have a defender, a helper, a comforter who will be with them to carry on his mission. His love will be secure with those bonds with the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. Because he is not here with us in the physical sense this morning, but he is with us in the spiritual sense. Every one of us. He is with every one of us. And he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes we confuse it with our conscience, but he is always here. He is always with you. Because Jesus leaves his disciples not only with a legacy, but with an identity and the presence steeped into our souls. And they're not losing his spiritual presence. The integrity and the discipleship bonds that remain intact and powerful even to today, some 2,000 years later. The Spirit's guidance and wisdom and protection stays with us no matter where we go. What a joy it is to know that promise and that hope that we have. Because all of us at one time or another had the experience of being there for our family or being there for our friends. And many of us have had experience knowing that Jesus is with us in the times of grief and fear and need and what to come, because we don't know the future, what we worry a lot. But Jesus calls us to even do more than this, to build the kind of Christian community inside and outside of the church. The Ecclesia simply demonstrates these kinds of unbreakable bonds. That word simply means people called together. We're called together today in Jesus' name to be citizens of a different kind of community in which all identity as people with purpose is to love, to save, to seek, to proclaim, to protect, and bring home to Jesus all who as God has created in love. If only one repents, the angels in heaven, the scriptures say, rejoice. If only one repents. What a thing. What a wonderful thing. What a calling. And Jesus told us to go on the mission in the last part of Matthew's gospel. Go into all the world, baptizing and teaching in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with my love. The disciples were led and guided by the Holy Spirit of Christ. We also are called to have each other's backs in a world of danger, fear, loneliness, and doubt. We are all called to live in loyalty and trust and faith in the living presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. We're all called together to nurture each other in faith, to comfort each other in sorrow, lift up each other in times of joy, and to guide each other into discipleship and to wisdom. We are called together to go out into the field, to take risks for the sake of the gospel, to proclaim the saving power of Christ, and to gather in all who are lost. That's what the church is all about. We're called together to love not only each other, but to seek those who have wandered away and to welcome the prodigals of this world who return with grace and the hope of Christ. When Jesus prepared to leave his disciples that day, he didn't just leave them with his promise. He left them his spirit. And that spirit remains with the church all these years, united in love, united in the spirit, united in faith, and united in hope. We truly are united under the lordship of Christ. Now, the church, for all of its mistakes and issues, remain the hope of Christ for the world, a mission of love and healing for this world that we live in. As we all join together within its communities, continue to carry out Jesus' legacy of grace and to treat each other as Christ cherished his own children. You and I. In Christ's church, you belong. As a child of God, welcome home in Jesus' name. Amen.